Sunday, November 8th, 2009, Rabbi Menachem Liebtag. What's the topic?
Difficult tefillot in the book of Yirmiyahu, and the concept of Hesed Panim Tanach. Right.
Okay.
Okay. The first thing I want to do, Erev Tov, everybody, just some tefillot floating around. I want you to, the topic today is tefillot in Yirmiyahu, and the concept of Hesed Panim. Why we pick the topic, I'll explain in a minute. But just for a warm-up, what I want you to do is take a look at Avinu Malkeinu. The prayer of Avinu Malkeinu. You can't see the real one. take a look. Everyone, that's a famous question. How many Avinu Malkeinus are there? Everyone knows that. Take a look at Avinu Malkeinu. And I'll give you a real short assignment. A very short assignment. I want you to do is take a look. By the way, anyone needs Tanachim? I brought from Sarah Dieter. Who does have a Tanach in these ones? Oh yeah, some over there. Some bigger prints there. These belong to Sarah Yavetsky, so we use these from the Hebrew. And a couple of bigger prints. One from the shul and the ones over there. But we'll need a Tanach. There's a source sheet which has bigger prints. And it's like somebody's the sources if you want it, but everything's in your Tanach. Okay, we'll start another share. For the recorder, you can start the share from here. Take a look at Avinu Malkeinu. I want you to take a look. I think somewhere there's a Avinu Malkeinu that says, "Kam Karchanayim Litzvilotenu." Ring a bell?
Yeah.
See, where would you expect it to be? Where there's a lot of Avinu Malkeinu in the list. Where would you expect Avinu Malkeinu Ptach Shar Shalim Litzvilotenu to be?
Beginning.
Why would you expect it to be in the beginning?
Sort of the rest of the
yeah. This is that answer. It would make sense that first we would pray to God open the gates to start prayers.
Or at the end.
So where is it?
I know.
So take a look and find it. Anyone find it? Okay. Is it? What's right before it? Right before Shema Kolenu.
For it.
And Tashar and the Tchilatenu.
It's after.
Kabel Brachamim is afterwards? No. Beforehand. Okay. What I want you to do, from that area, see if there's some, is a common theme to all those prayers that come from that point on to the end. And how they're different than everything beforehand. Okay. Don't answer yet, but I want you to look. There's two types of prayers in Avinu Malkeinu. The area that you just found, which is Tashar Shamayim, that vicinity is one type. Look beforehand. It's a real simple question. You'll shoot yourself for not realizing it. But if you have the answer, raise. I want to... Everyone understand my question? But don't answer it if you found the answer. But what I want you to see if you can identify two different types of prayer, two different categories of Avinu Malkeinu. The only hint I'm going to tell you is real simple. And the Avinu Malkeinu himself is the same, I told you. It doesn't change. Try to categorize what we're asking for. Anybody want to give it a try? You're a teacher, that doesn't count. Your husband's a teacher. You're ready to show up. Is it a good trigger assignment? It's a classic trigger.
Yeah.
You get that. You know what triggers are? When you plan a class in a real school, you open a question so that to get the students thinking. Instead of so they figure out themselves.
Mm-hmm.
In a boys' school, but close school still okay. What do you find?
Maybe in the first half, it's about shows for us.
Uh-huh.
In the second half is things I thought that you should do because of yourself or for your
Is everything there for God's sake? There's some of them are Astei Laman. Yeah, but is that the only reason we give?
No.
Let's take your first category. Your first category was what again? Asking God. Give me examples of things that we need. Do we need We need refuah shlema. We want to get rid of zerut kashot. We want to get rid of. Yeah, we want to give objective things. We call that classic petitioning. Okay? How is that different than the prayer of Tach Shar Shemam Letzilatenu? And Shema Kolenu?
The global response.
One's a tefillah for the object, one's a tefillah for the path.
Maybe you're right, but it's something more simple than that. It's so simple. What?
In general.
But you're all right, but it's something such more, it's so simple and basic. It's the only thing I can give you. You're catching yourself. What? I'll do that again. Most of them, from the opening ones, Chatanu Lefanecha, we'll get back to that later on. But we're asking for our needs. We're asking for specifics. What are the other ones? What do you mean by overall?
Listening to our prayers.
So just define that. You're right, but what?
Requests.
Requests of what? Okay. So there's a whole set of requests of what we need, and then we ask God to answer our prayers. We're praying to, first we pray that two-thirds is our prayers, what we need. We need rain, we need refuah shleima, we need halakha, we want peace, quiet, all the things we need, chaim aruch, everything.
Okay.
And then afterwards we have a whole set of things of asking God to answer our prayers. Look at the whole list from Tachshay Shemayim, from Shema Kolenu. Take them one at a time. Almost all of them. There's one or two little understandable prayerful things. You see what they are? Atzei Leman Shemecha, it's giving God a reason. It's not a prayer, something we want. It's asking God, giving God a reason why you should answer our prayers. Shema Kolenu would answer our prayers. Is that simple? It's right in front of you. And it's grouped, isn't it? First, other than the opening one or two would deal with. But most of the Avinu Malkeinu, first we ask, here's what we need. We pray for our needs. And afterwards, we ask God to answer our prayers. You'll see why this is important for this year. But isn't it simple? Yeah.
It's a little bit like Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, where you've davened all day.
Yeah.
And then at the end you're asking for, you know, now listen to us.
Yes.
Now listen.
Yeah, it's like Hila. It's also like Shmon Esrei. What's the last bracha Shmon Esrei? Shma Kolenu.
This is more like opening a channel.
Yes, but look at the order. That's why I asked the opening question. Where would you expect to say in the beginning, ask, listen, open the gates to our prayers, and then pray.
Right.
If we do the exact opposite in prayer. Mm-hmm. First we pray to God, and then we ask God to answer our prayers. Which means there's a value in praying. There's a value in praying even if it's not answered. Yeah, and that's the if we have time, we'll see the Chotzfil of the Rambam. There's a mitzvah to pray. When the mitzvah derives to pray, the way the Rambam has it in the Chotzfil, it's mitzvah derives to pray when you're in need. When someone's in need, you turn to God in prayer. Not in order to get answered, but that's how you build a relationship with God.
Get answers. It just might be
no. No. In today's share, sometimes the answer is God's not listening. Mm-hmm. And that's the introduction. You've heard of Hester Panim?
Mm-hmm.
People usually understand Hester Panim is God's not watching, not taking care of us. I want to show you Hester Panim. Hester Panim is when we pray to God and He doesn't answer our prayers. He's listening, but He says no. It's not Him not taking care of us. It's tough when we pray to Him. That's what's so amazing, I think, strange, that's so surprising about it. We always understand Hester Panim, it's God's not watching. He's listening, and He's answering no. He's turning, you ask someone for something, and they turn their face. They hear you. And it's a type of a punishment, we'll see. But you would expect when you turn to God in prayer, He would answer. Usually we expect, if we turn to God in prayer, God should answer us. Why shouldn't He? What I want to show you is that most of the time that we have the concept of Hester Panim, it's Dafka when we're praying to God. And with the Nevi'im and Tidim, we talk about Hester Panim, it's when we pray to God and He doesn't answer. Not when we're not praying. Not when we're bad. Yeah.
If we were praying, in other words, if we were ignoring God, you couldn't say that He's ignoring you back, right? That's Hester Panim, that's the reverse, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that would make sense to be Hester Panim, but what I want to show you is most of the time when we have the concept of Hester Panim, it's in the context of when we're praying and God's not listening. And He gives a good reason for not listening.
That's what I'm saying. It wouldn't make sense to say that you could have Hester Panim if we weren't praying. If we were ignoring...
I agree with you. But most people say Hester Panim is when things happen to us and we get punished. You think because we're bad or something. Hester Panim, no logic. Most people don't realize Hester Panim is not when we're praying.
Okay, I'll hear it later.
And that's what I want to show you today. And how it fits into your meal and explains a lot of things. So that's our goal today. That's why I asked you to do the sitter part. Eighth, to simply understand davening. We do it every day. When you daven Shemon Esrei, the last bracha, what I'm getting at, there's a value in praying, even though God doesn't answer. There's another prayer to answer our prayers. But there's still a value in praying, even though God says, if God doesn't answer. Now, the strategy in prayer is, you have to give God a good reason why you should listen. And that's what we'll see. That's what the goal, what we see in Yirmiyahu, what we can learn from Yirmiyahu, and tons of other Nevi'im and Tehillim. So I want to begin, that was the introduction, I will get to work. If you have the source sheet, we'll follow the source sheet, follow with your Tanakh inside. Some of them, here's a couple of these.
You can use one for every two. You can use your Tanakh also.
It's just, the first source I want to look at, just a quick peek of things that you would, totally surprising. Look at Perikid Aleph and Yirmiyahu. I want to bring a couple examples where Yirmiyahu asks God to go kill people. You wouldn't expect that of a Navi, would you? Okay. Yirmiyahu is going to beg God to kill these people. It's the last thing you expect a Navi to say, especially a fellow Jew. Look at Perikid Aleph. Perikid Aleph. For those who, about half, I didn't take attendance, but about half of you, this is like the regular Sunday morning group. We've been doing Yirmiyahu for the last like 5-6 shiurim. So half are new and half are used to it. So I'm not going to overlap those, but it's something you can understand without being in the last 4 or 5.
You were just saying one thing,
that
a statement.
That's the strategy. What's the strategy? Why would God giving us prosperity and saving us from our enemies be for God's sake and not for our sake? Because that's Laman Shemecha. We're associated with you, and if we lose battles, it looks like our God's not strong. We'll see an example of that. So it's not so that you have what to eat, or you get well, but even though we're not deserving, it's worthwhile in your interest, just to make you look good. But we have to give God a good reason why he'll want to do that. Open up your Niyal Perikid Aleph. In case I forget, remember I have to see Kidim Kufaf today, in case I forget it, because it's not on the source sheet. I didn't sit on. Yirmiyahu Yud Aleph. The source I have there is in Pasuk Yud Chet, so let me show you what the background is in Yud Aleph. Open up Yirmiyahu Yud Aleph. Again, I'm not going to get into the whole structure of Yirmiyahu. That's too complicated for tonight. It talks about a brief Am Yisrael make, and they go back on the covenant they made. Here, look in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Have it? Basically, the people make a treaty with God to return, to renew the covenant, probably in the time of Yoshiel. And then, even though they make this new covenant with God and renew the covenant and make this whole big Pesach, they go back on it. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, he says like this, L'chein kol mar Hashem, hinei mivya lehem ra'a asher lo yuchlu l'set mimena v'zaku elai v'lo shema lehem. Because they were so rotten, they said they're going to do good again, they renew the covenant, and right away they break it. That's the first part of chapter 11. Because of that, I'm going to bring them a punishment. And what did he say after that? And the punishment would be so bad, they're going to cry out to me when they're punished. And what's God saying? I'm not going to listen. Okay. They said they're going to go cry out to the other gods also. And they won't help them also. But he goes on to the Avodah Zarah part. Then, Pasuk Yudalit. What's God tell you, Miyahu? V'yata al titpala v'aram hazeh, v'atitza v'adam rinah v'tfilah. God tells Yirmiyahu, don't daven for them. It's unheard of, isn't it? God tells Yirmiyahu, I'm so sick of these people, don't pray for them. You're wasting your time. Because even if you pray, I'm not going to listen. God tells them ahead of time, there's no point in prayer. Yet, we're going to see two things tonight. We're going to see problematic prayers that Yirmiyahu says. We're going to see problematic situations of prayer where God tells Yirmiyahu not to pray. We're used to bringing up that prayer, there's nothing stopping prayer, every minute you can pray till the last minute. Prayer is the all-saving thing. We're going to see in Yirmiyahu, there's lots of times when God says, there's no point in prayer.
What's the Rina here?
Rina and Tfilah is another name for, remember that there's a piyut. Nishma el Rina ve'el Tfilah. That's first night of Slichah, so that's Yom Kippur. What?
It's the first year of your life.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Nishmala Rina Vela Tila. Kabel Rina Tamcha. Sagvinu Tarinu Nora. That's Kabbalah already. That's not a pasuk. That's Anabakoa, isn't it? Yeah. Then he explains why. Mildly disease for Vitig. Then I don't want to get into all the details here. I want to make a couple more examples. Now, later on in the parak, in Parak Yudbet, look in Pasuk Yudbet. I don't think it's on the source sheet, but we'll lead into it. God, Yirmiyahu complains to God that the people want to kill him. He says, I'm like, in Pasuk Yudbet, he says, I'm like a lamb being taken off to slaughter. And I didn't realize that they're out to kill me. Then, Pasachav. Vashem Tzvot Shofet Tzedek, Bochen Kleo Belez. God, Yirmiyahu is complaining that his colleagues in the city of Anatot are out to kill him. We had a whole show why they want to kill him. We'll have to explain why later on. Yirmiyahu is complaining to God that his colleagues are plotting to kill him. They want to assassinate the guy. He turns to God and says, you're Shofet Tzedek. Bochen Kleo Belez, you know what people are really thinking. Eran Nikmatcha Mehem. What's that mean? I want to see vengeance from them. I'm complaining to you because I can't protect myself, only you can protect me. Therefore, what does God say about the people of Anatot? What are these people of Anatot? It's Yirmiyahu's hometown, his colleagues. What are they telling Yirmiyahu? Don't prophesize and we won't kill you. The Yeshiva Bachrim, what's that mean? When they tell him, don't prophesize in God's name and we won't kill you. What's that mean? If you do prophesize, it will kill you. Why do they want to kill him? We had a whole share on that. But without knowing the politics, you won't appreciate what's happening. Yirmiyahu is telling the people to give in to Bavel. And everyone's saying we have to fight Bavel. And that's what makes the book so interesting and so complicated. Yirmiyahu is labeled the leftist. He's telling everybody, God said, put up a white flag, let Bavel take over. Everyone else is saying we can fight him, especially with our coalition. Yirmiyahu is weakening the home front. And if he says it in his own opinion, fine. If he says it in God's name, he's going to get people to leave the army and not fight. He's public enemy number one. Therefore, to save the country, they have to kill him. So Yirmiyahu is telling God they want to kill me. Take care of them for me. Then what's got to answer? What's the chabet? לכן כל אמר השם צבות נינית פוקד עליהם הבחורים ימותו בחרב ובניהם בנתם ימותו ברב ושאיר לא תהיה להם כי אביר ראה אנשי הנתות שם פקוד אותם God promises and I'll kill him. Yeah.
Previous passage, לא תנדה בשם השם. It sounds like if you were מנדה in something else. I mean, it's just a strange formulation.
He's saying, if Yirmiyahu, if you give your own opinion, if you say, here's my opinion, fine. But don't say it in God's name. That's the whole argument. Is Yirmiyahu saying it? Is he giving his opinion or is this God's opinion? Remember when Baruch reads that book in Paraklam and Bav? That was like the big chapter. You know, he writes it down in the Sefer and Baruch reads it in public. And what do they ask Baruch? Who wrote this? What's the source? Right. Did you make it up? Is it your opinion? Is it your summary? Or did Yirmiyahu tell this in the name of God? Remember, Yirmiyahu is a bona fide Nevi. And that's why when he says it in God's name, what do the false prophets have to say? They also say in God's name because Yirmiyahu can't be right. All for national security. So that's, the beginning of Parak Yudbet, one of the most famous questions in the Bible, which Yirmiyahu has an interesting answer for. See Parak Yudbet? Tzadikat Hashem means, God, you're always right, but I'm still going to complain. I'm going to ask you some heavy questions. Madua derech v'shayim salecha, meaning, why are the ways of the wicked successful? Easy question. Okay. You let them, they plant themselves, they take root, okay? They give fruit, and look at that part. Karova tabafiyam, ruchok mi kliotam. These wicked people, what do you mean karova tabafiyam? They talk about you all the time. They say, here's Hashem. They talk about God all the time. They're acting for him. They're not wicked people. They're his colleagues. And they talk about God and they're acting like they represent God. But you're far from their heart. Says, you guys, you know me. You know them. And what you say? That's rough, isn't it? What's he telling God to do? Kill them like what? Slaughter them like sheep. Ooh, that's rough, isn't it? What's Yirmiyahu worried about? Is he worried just about his life? It sounds like, you know, a feud between rabbis, and one rabbi turning to the guy and say, kill the other guy. You expect him to say, get him to do tshuva, show him the light. He wants him dead. That's good. Yirmiyahu to talk like that? It's surprising, isn't it? That's my main point. I wish I had an answer. Yeah.
Well, if they win, then the whole Beit HaMikdashin, all the Jewish people wind up getting destroyed. The only hope
that's the right answer. You're right. Yeah.
The only hope he has is that these people can be destroyed.
Yeah.
That's the only way to save everybody else.
And that's the classic problem where sometimes you have to kill somebody to save the whole nation. Because if this leadership group that wants to undo Yirmiyahu is successful and they kill him, then Yerushalayim is a lost cause. But those are going to come and take over. The only chance that Yirmiyahu is trying to save the country. And if the people accept his nevuah, he can save Yerushalayim. He can save the Beit HaMikdash. He can save Yerushalayim being destroyed. If they listen to his colleagues, he knows because he knows what God told him. He knows it's a lost cause if they listen to him, if they fight. And therefore, for the sake of Am Yisrael, for the sake of the nation, he needs these people. I mean, maybe he could pray for them that they should go mute. But you think, that's the background. He's so troubled by their prophecy against him, because he knows he's right, and they're sure he's wrong. And Yirmiyahu seems to be saying the only way that Am Yisrael can survive is if you teach these guys a lesson, and teach the people a lesson, because if they're killed in a difficult manner, then the people might realize that Yirmiyahu was right. If you let them continue talking, and they're not punished right away, then they're going to come and take over. So it seems like there's some logic to what he's asking for. Again, we would expect him to say, you know, a nice, you know, everyone should be nice and happy and do tshuva, but it seems we're way past that already.
You keep talking about the only alternative is that we have him dead. Why not just ask to have them change their tshuva?
That's the same question I asked.
Free will.
It seems like Yirmiyahu realizes they're not going to change. That's the problem, because it's a political opinion. If they say, it's very hard to get people to change their political opinions. You should know that. It seems that's what Yirmiyahu understands. These guys, you're not going to change them. They're pro-rebelling against Bavel. They're going to fight to the end. And if God doesn't stop them, because the nation's, you know, wavering. If we listen to Yirmiyahu, we listen to them. Yirmiyahu, get rid of them. Punish them so everyone realizes that you're with me and we solve the problem. Yeah.
What does Mishpatim mean in this sense? Is the Mishpat something like Mishpat versus a Chok? I'm saying, Yirmiyahu saying to Hashem, I'm saying you something that makes sense, that has reason.
Mishpat usually can mean like three different things. It can be the case itself. Here I think the Mishpat means the case that's before you. Am I going to win or are they going to win? A Mishpat can be the actual judgment. A Mishpat sometimes can be also like the case in general. But here it seems to be, listen to my case. If they want to kill me, and stick up for me. He'll go on in a second. We'll just go to the why God's so angry. He just goes on and on. Here, I'll give one next example. here, just skip to the end of the parak in Pasuk Tetvav. Oh no, that'll take too long. Just go back to Parak Yudalit. We'll just go to the next one. And Parak Tetvav, Pasuk Tetvav. There's more examples in Parak Yudalit also. Maybe we'll do one from Yudalit. Yeah, look at Parak Yudalit. We'll get to it later on, but you have the same thing. Look at Yirmiyahu's tefillah in Parak Yudalit, Pasuk Vav. We're going to get to it later. But look in Parak Yudalit, Pasuk Vav. Ima v'neinu anu banu aseh Hashem aseh l'man shmecha. We have that in Davin, don't we? Ki rabu mishuvetenu l'cha chatanu, mikfei yisro moshinu beit tzara, lamatia ki ger ba'aretz, koreach natav lalun. Says, God, look like you abandoned us. This is your land, this is your people, help us out. Lamatia ki ish nidham ki gvor lo yuchal oshia. Why are you acting like someone who can't do anything? Atabi kebeinu Hashem, you're in our midst. V'shimcha alinu nikra, al tenichenu. Your name is with us. We represent you. We're your people. Help us out. Chasid filah. What's that answer? Gives him a thing in Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer Hashem Elai, Al Titzala Ba'adam Hazeh. L'tova. Ki etzumu, Eneni Shomea. Avinatam. When they fast, I'm not going to listen to the prayer. So you can read out Sila. They bring me korbanot, I don't want it. I'm going to wipe them out. All my colleagues are saying the opposite. They're saying there'll be peace, there'll be quiet. We're going to win the war. Then he goes and Yimri goes, spend that whole fight about, and bring that down now. The fight is over these Nevi'i Sheker, which are Yimri's colleagues or the other rabbis. They're not Nevi'im of other gods. So God's Nevi'im telling the people, fight yourself. Yeah.
Is the assumption that if he would pray, then God is not going to listen anyway? Or is it if he prays, there's a chance that he might give...
It seems like God's saying you're wasting your time praying.
You're wasting your time.
Yeah. Now, in Perek Vav, skip to Tet Vav, and then we'll go back to these other ones and see what they're doing wrong. In Tet Vav, in Perek Vav, chapter 15, verse 15, it says, V'atayah, that's the next verse on the big page, V'atayah dat Hashem, Zuchenu Ufdeni, Vinakim Li, Mirotai. What's that mean? You know me, God. Remember me. And avenge my enemies. So say. Al Erech HaPecha. What's he tell me? Don't what? Don't use Erech HaPayim. Al Erech HaPecha. Got it? Don't have mercy on them. Tikacheni. Dat Eti Alech HaKeva. I'm sticking up for you. Don't let them get away with it. I'm giving you words. I'm saying I'm representing you. Can you crush him for a lie? Hashem alayhi tzvot. Your name is upon me. He's saying, God, I'm sticking up for you. Help me. The first picture I want to paint is how the, probably the best word is sabrochen. What that means? Sabrochen is
broken.
Yirmiyot played, he's so down. You see, he's going to want to die soon. In the middle of all this, in Parakhaf, that's the next thing, and we're going to go back to sources we skipped over, which, more about the not davening part, just one more thing about what you're praying for. There's a guy named Pashkor, that's like what he hears, in Parakhaf. In Parakhaf, in the beginning, Pashkor hears what he's one of the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash. See, Parakhaf, chapter 20, the first line, V'yishma Pashkor ben Imer HaKohen, V'upakid Nagid Beit Hashem, et Yirmiyahu Nibat HaDvarim. Yirmiyahu keeps on with the same line. In chapter 20 in the beginning, Pashkur was a big shot in the Beit HaMikdash, a top Kohen. Here's what Yirmiyahu was saying, and guess what he does? He slaps someone. Ve'akep Pashkur is Yirmiyahu Navi, ve'iten oto ala mapechet. Slaps him, puts him in jail. And mapechet seems to be a really bad jail. Probably, some people said they kept him upside down. It's a jail with punishment. And Yirmiyahu turns to God. So skip the Pasuk Zayin. Yirmiyahu is going to explain now, in a beautiful manner, why God should save him. And he's saying, I'm saying things in your name, and people hate me because of it. Why did they hate Yirmiyahu? And what should Yirmiyahu do if he was normal? He'd keep his mouth shut. And Yirmiyahu is saying, I could have kept my mouth shut. But out of my dedication to you, I'm saying what you told me. Now it's your job to stick up for me. This is what he says. B'titani Hashem b'afat. You know what that means? God seduced Yirmiyahu. He said to speak for him, and he fell for it. That's what Yirmiyahu was saying. He said, "Tani b'tuchal." You gave me strength, and I was able to. Abokhayti, this chok kol ayom kulo lo igli. What he's saying? I'm giving these prophecies. I'm this Mr. Left Winger, and what's everyone doing? They're laughing at me. They're making a mockery of me. Kimidei adaber adak. Remember from that story on Rosh Hashanah? Kimidei adabribach. The same lesson. Kimidei adaber adak. Whenever I cry out and yell at the people, and I complain about the corruption, and I call out about it, when I speak in God's name, it's all mockery. Everyone's making fun of me. In Pasuk Tet, Abati lo eskarena, lo adaber od bishmo. What did Yirmiyahu say to himself? You know what? I won't mention God. I won't mention His name. I won't speak in His name. But the word of God was like burning inside of me, I had to say it. The Rambam uses this when he describes how Nebuah works, that when you have Nebuah, God, it's like you have to say it. It's burning in your bones to say it. Okay. Now, what are they saying about him? I'm reading this to explain why he's so angry. Kishamati dibat ravim. I heard the people talking about me. Magor mitzaviv. Hagidu v'nagidena ko enosh shlomi Shomei Tali, Ulai Yifuteh Benuchado, Nichanik Matinu Mimeno. What are they all saying? We can catch him, we can trick him, we can kill him. Everyone's planning to kill Yirmiyahu.
What Magor?
They're all around him. They're Magor, like, what? How do they translate that? Like, surrounding to catch him? But that's his nickname, from what it means, though. How do they translate it in
the English one? Don't have English?
Yeah.
Let me look it up. I can't read the small print. It's English. Oh, you have the English there, right? I can't read the small print. How do they translate Magor?
What's that, 13? 2011. It's a nickname for him, but what is it? Is this his nickname or has a meaning?
Probably fear?
Yeah.
No one has English?
Though I heard the calumny of many, the terror all around.
Terror, okay. And that's why it's Pashkor's nickname.
There's a gathering around.
Misaviv is gathering around. Makor is the fear. Okay, so skip a little bit. Here, Pasuk good bet. Here we go again. You God, you know the truth. What you ask for? I want my revenge. Give me revenge from them. I'm complaining to you. Now this is how he ends, sounds like Eov now. See Pasuk Gedalit? This ends the whole unit in Yirmiyahu. Aror ha-yom asher yuladeti bo. What's he saying? Cursed is the day that I was born. Yom asher yuladetani imi, the day that my mother gave birth to me. Al yaburuch, it shouldn't be blessed. Aruha Isha should be said, Abi Lemor, Yuladacha Ben, Zahar, Sameh. The guy who gave the news, he had a baby boy, he should be cursed. Is that rough? He's cursing the day he was born. It's like you, for sure. Haibaye Shahu Karim, Ashrafah Hashem Blo Nicham, Vashmaza Kababoku, Trat Beit Saurim, Ashulum Tatani Mereche, Batidli Imi Kivri, Brahma, Harat Obam. What's he wishing for? My mother's womb should have been mine. My burial spot. Lama zemi rechem yatzati. Why was I born? They wrote Amal v'yagon. Tichuv v'pashut yamai. Why was I born? You see how what I meant by Sabrochen? He's in a lose-lose situation. He has to say God's word, but because he says God's word, everyone hates him. But if he doesn't represent God, everything's a lost cause. He's the last line of defense that can save the people if they listen to him. And he hates his job, and he knows no one's going to listen to him. Again, we talked about why, if no one's going to listen to him, why God tells him to speak anyhow. That's so people in the future would know, I'm going to listen from Yirmiyahu. That didn't work so much either. So that's the first part. Oh, but I want to show you, it's surprising that a Navi would ask for something like that, and the answer is pretty much what the direction of burning, it seems like the only answer could be, is even though he bet on people killed for no reason, in his opinion, it's because of this opposition to Yirmiyahu, especially from his colleagues, who are also Nevi'im, also rabbis, and part of the rabbinic establishment. If all the rabbis were agreeing with Yirmiyahu, and the political people saying one thing, so you have an argument. But his other colleagues, the other rabbis, are saying in God's name to fight for them, and that Yirmiyahu is lying, that's going to cause the people basically to lose the battle. And therefore, they're not going to listen to Yirmiyahu, they're going to fight for them, they're going to lose, Yerushalayim will be destroyed. Yirmiyahu feels bad, no one's listening to him. And he tells God, if you punish these troublemakers, if you punish these people who are against me, who want to kill me, save me and kill them, maybe we can save the nation. Again, you could say, pray to God that they they change their political opinion. But it looks like that's impossible.
It's more likely than...
Now, that's part one. Part two is, why is God not listening? And that goes into the whole, that's why I want to go back to the concept of prayer. How could it be that we pray to God and he doesn't listen? What's the logic behind it? And then we'll get into Esther Panim. I want to begin with, we've done Parak Zayin before, I want to just review it. Parak Zayin is like probably the most powerful parak in Yirmiyahu. We're explaining the connection between prayer and the temple, and what the problem with the people are. You go back to chapter 7 in Yirmiyahu, it's on the source sheet, part B. Again, in summary, I simply try to show you, there's difficult things that Yirmiyahu does, very hard to understand. I'm trying to explain how to use this to understand how prayer works, or sometimes why it doesn't work. In the beginning of chapter 7 is Yirmiyahu's probably the main point. He's in the Beit HaMikdash, in the beginning of Parashat Zayin. God tells him, go to the Beit HaMikdash, means the people, he's talking to the people, coming to bow down to God, what we would call the religious people, who bring korbanot and praying to God. And he tells them, as follows, call Marsham, improve your behavior, and you can stay in this place. Don't listen to the words of the false words of his colleagues saying, God Teichal will save you. The other rabbis are saying, bring korbanot, pray to God, and he'll save you. That Teichal Hashem, Teichal Hashem. Ki'im, etib, titib, adachachem, et malalachem. And he goes on and on, help the poor, help the needy. All the left-wing stuff, we've done this before. And Yirmiyahu, it's a broken record by Yirmiyahu. It's not, Yirmiyahu's saying, don't pray at all. Don't pray and be corrupt at home. Don't think the prayer alone is going to solve your problem. Improve your behavior, then there's room for prayer. That's based, in a nutshell, that's going to be his answer.
There's still hope here.
For sure there's still hope, because it's still before the Zardin. Then, but that Yana, so Kevin called him out to Me'ela, a secret of Baita Shuri Kashmila, basically tells him, I'm going to do to this house what I did to Shiloh. That's the famous, that's the first, like, 14, that's the first 13 Sukkim of Parashat Zayin. It's because of this Nevuah and Parashat Habav, we did this way back, that they want to put him on trial and they want to kill him. Remember they put him, he says the Beit HaMikdash could be destroyed. When he says this Nevuah, we get the parallel detail in Parashat Habav in chapter 26, and then they put him on trial as a Nevi Sheker, they want him dead. And he saved it to the last minute. Then what happened to Pasuk Zayin?
He said
that
when he lived him off.
That this Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed.
No, it's because you didn't listen to me. I don't listen to you.
Oh, because if you didn't listen to me, I'm not going to listen to your prayer. Because I called after you and you didn't listen, and now therefore I'm going to, when you call to me, I won't listen. What do you say now in the continuation? Which is, and look at this switch in topic, which is really surprising. Till now he's been talking about what's so bad about them. They've been doing... Their social behavior has been bad. Mm-hmm. Look at the switch of a record here. Pasuk, where are we? In Pasuk Tetzvav. He says, in Tetzvav, he says, I'm going to throw you out like I did to the 10 tribes. Pasuk Tetzvav. Batal titfala baram azeh, batitzab badam rinav tfilah. I think this Pasuk is like 3-4 times in Yirmiyahu. It's, don't pray for them. Don't carry rinav tfilah. Atit gabi. Don't, you occur to me in prayer. Keneni shomea. Remember, like, gaba makom? What's Rashi say? What if Rashi will think it means? It means he came to the place. What's Rashi say? I'm pretty sure Rashi says. He davened. Where did they get it from? It fits perfectly, doesn't it? He means to pray. Atit gavi kenen shomeelta. Then he says, "Hayim chavra mahim osim barei yudav kusat yushraim avanim melaktim itzim vavot madarim et eish vanashim lashut batek lasot kavanim lachet hashemayim hasek nesachim lalim achrim laman achifeni hautia yim achrisim yom hashem lalotam boshet tunayim." He was just complaining about people in the Beit HaMikdash not worthy for God answering the prayers because of their behavior at home. And now what's he talking about? Idol worship. It's really strange. What's the problem? Is it idol worship or is it social injustice? So most person says both. But strange, why are these same people come to the Beit HaMikdash, stop to God, ask God for help, and God says, don't pray to me if you're rotten at home. And then he says, look what they're doing. They're doing all this idol worship stuff. Even though Yoshiel several years earlier got rid of all idol worship. Then he goes on, God says, take your korbanot. This we've done a lot of times in Pasuk Habalah. This is Haftar already. Take your korbanot, your olot, and make them shlamim. You're wasting the meat. You might as well eat it, basically take your korbanot and eat them, because I didn't ask you to feed me, but I took you out of Egypt, I wanted you to listen to me, be my covenantal partner. That's the rest of Parag's on. So that's one example. Now we'll bring a couple more examples where he tells them not to pray. The one we did in Parag Yadalot already. This, to summarize what happens in Parag Zion, he says, when I took you out of Egypt, I didn't make you a nation because I needed a nation to feed me. We made a covenant in Har Sinai, I want a nation to represent me. As a symbol of this covenant, I gave you a mikdash. And because this mikdash represents my connection to you, when you come to visit me, don't come empty-handed. That's called korbanot. But the purpose of the covenant was not that God needs someone to feed him. That's the main point. The purpose of the covenant is God wants a nation to represent him. Korbanot is important, but not the reason for the covenant. And the people think, we sort of summarize in a cliche, the people think God's working for them, and God, they believe in God. He has these magic powers, but how do you get God to help you? Feed him, the right thing, say the magic prayers, and he'll feed you, and he'll help you. Yirmiyahu says, you're missing the whole point. That was Perek Zayin. In Perek Yedalin, he goes on, there's a Batsoret, and simply I want to show you a beautiful tefillah that Yirmiyahu says. There's a famine in chapter 14. And I want to show you classic prayer like we're used to. Again, the main point I want to emphasize here, it's not that the people are evil. The people are davening to God. They care about God. They believe in God. They might believe in other gods as well, but they definitely believe in the God of Israel at certain times because they turn to Him in prayer. And listen to the beautiful prayers they're saying. In prayer, Gedalah, there's a pastor. You know what that means? There's a lack of bread and a famine. And it's really bad.
Drought.
There's a drought. The first six, so keep talking about how bad the drought. Everything's drying out. Then he says in Pasuk Zayin, but in Pasuk Vav as follows. In Pasuk Zayin. Im avaneinu anu banu, like we read before, Hashem asay laman shmecha. Rabba b'shuvateinu lachar chatanu. Mishpei Yisrael. Why is God called Mishpei Yisrael? There's a play on words there. Mishpei milashon mikva, water. Mishpei milashon tikva. Moshiach beitzara. Lama tia ki jeb arz korech metadolun. Why are you acting like a stranger in your own land? Lama tia ki shvid ham ki bor lo lecha loshia, like we read before. Lata b'ke beinu Hashem, shimcha lenu nikra, al tichoneinu. And God answers them back, don't daven for them. But then that leads into all the false prophets.
So how do you know who you need in being as Palo, Leon? I don't recall seeing that much about it in the
beginning. He's shy, the beginning is shy.
He says not to pray, right?
Right.
But we have, I think you're right that Yirmiyahu is probably more than others.
Is that part of the job description? And it just doesn't show up?
I mean, Moshe does it big time, doesn't he?
But you don't see a lot of them.
You don't see a lot, but there's
just because...
No, there's more. There's more of them. I'm pretty sure Yoel doesn't... There's definitely more of them, but you're right. Yirmiyahu is a lot. It doesn't mean that they didn't. The question is why they're being recorded. So look at the next one. In the next one, I have an associate. I guess Perek Lamed Bet. So there's a better one beforehand. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Perek Yedaled. We have that. Yeah, he has another prayer in Pasuk Chaf. I'm Pasuk Yetzet. That's it. Pasuk Yetzet in Perek Yedaled. Pasuk Yetzet. That's not. Hamot Masat Hashem. Where's that one? Hamos Maasta Yehuda. Pasuk Yetzet and what Terek? And Yedaled, I'm sorry, I was in the wrong Terek. Hamos Maasta Yehuda in the Tzion Galen Afshecha. You understand the prayer? Are you sick of us? Madui Kitano Ben Lacham Marte, Kabel Hashem Ben Tov, Leit Matari Nevata. Yedal. Yedano Hashem Rishenu Avon Avotenu Ki Chatanu Lach. We know how bad we've been. Atanet Tomam Shimcha. Save us why? For the sake of your name. Remember, I'll say the man Shemecha. Asana Belki Tech Lodecha. Don't let your throne. In the end of chapter 14, verse 22 now. Zachar Vater B'chaitanu. Don't break your covenant with us. Ha'ish Pavlei Goyim Makshimim Shamayim Nu Revivim. Halo Atahu Hashem Elohim Nekebelach. Ki Atah Sitet Kol Eile. You're the one in charge of everything. You can give us the rain. Help us out. Listen to the guy's answer. In Teret Tevav. Remar Shem Elai. Im Yamod Moshe U'Shmuel Lefanai. In Afshiyat Amadeh. You're praying, he says, you're number three, you're in the top ten, but you're not the top two. Who's the top two? That's, by the way, Shmuel Davids for sure. Shmuel Davids for them. Moshe Davids for them. Even if Moshe and Shmuel were davening for them, I wouldn't listen to them. I've had it with them. You see how rough that is? God made a decision, he's had it. And unless they totally turn around, And that's what's so difficult about Yirmiyahu saying. The only thing they can do to save their skin, God's had it with them, is if they give in to Bavel. It's such a difficult nevuah. You're so beyond repair, the only thing you can do to show God that you're really turning over a new leaf is to give in to Bavel. And no one wants to buy it. And that's the background I wanted to paint. We spent two shiurim on the political background. I don't want to do that again. And the purpose of today's share to show you the ramifications of it and how it's expressed in Yirmiyahu's tefillot, because we didn't have time to do that when we did the political side. Okay, so that's part. Okay, that was the first two parts. Now I want to get Hester Panim. I want to show a parallel of this in Hester Panim, what Hester Panim means in relation to all this. Should we do the time for Lamed Bet also? Yeah, just one last tefillah of Yirmiyahu, which is simply a top five. I want you simply to know where the tefillah comes from. In Parashat Lamed Bet, remember that Torah in Parshat Bahar probably. When God tells Yirmiyahu to buy a field in Parshat Bahar?
Yeah.
Or B'chukatai, B'chukatai.
One's to Zion, one's
Yeah, Lamed Bet. Where God tells him to buy a field. That's Bahar. So in Parashat Lamed Bet, he buys the field, and then he doesn't understand why if God's saying we're going to destroy the city, why buy real estate at a time like this when the market's low? So look at the end of Parashat Lamed Bet. Pasuk Tetzav. Through Pasuk Gedalit, he signs the contract. He's in jail when someone brings him a deed, and they sign the contract, the whole thing. And then he says, "Don't worry, Kol Hashem, Odignub Vatim V'Sadot Ukomim Baharat Hazot." And then Yirmiyahu doesn't understand what's happening. This is simply a beautiful tefillah. But Palel Hashem Achrei Titiyat Sefer Migdal Baruch Benari Lemor. After I signed the contract, he's in jail. His land is about to be destroyed. He's predicting it. He doesn't understand what God's teaching him with. He says, "Aha, Pasuk Yizan, Hashem Elokim, Hine Ata Titiyat Hashemayim V'Taaretz B'Chokha Gadol B'Zrocha Nesuya." You're the God of heavens and earth, nothing above your ability. What's missing here? Abraham, Orah, Gomorrah, the whole, Sugana. Where's this from? Go ahead, stop, Rav Alila. Know when we say that? And unfortunately, isn't that the tefillah in a cemetery? After a funeral, I think that we said. He goes on and on in his tefillah. He says, now the city's about to be destroyed, and now you tell me to buy a field. What's God's answer? I can do anything. That's where we end that Torah. Chaval. Vayit var Hashem v'yumil ademor, hini Hashem elecha basar b'men yipadecho davar. Then he says he's going to give it to the Kasdim. And then finally he says one day they're going to come back and at least has a nice ending. But I simply want to bring an example of his good tefillah. He really means well, Yirmiyahu. He knows how to daven. And God tells him, don't daven. No. What I need to do now is explain what's this idea of Hester Panim. Why Hester Panim is a general definition for all this, and the prophetic answer for why God has Hester Panim. So we'll start with Yirmiyahu himself, and then we'll go on. That's definitely the Lamed Bet, because Lamed Bet goes right into Lamed Gimel. Look at Lamed Gimel in the beginning. All these things we saw in Yirmiyahu, now I want to show you that Yirmiyahu himself uses the concept of Hester Panim in this context. In Parashat Lamed Gimel, in the beginning, he summarized what he had before, and then in Pasuk Dalet. Kichol Ma'ashem Elohei Yisrael. Parashat Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Dalet. Kichol Ma'ashem Elohei Yisrael. Avatei Yerzot Avatei Bachi Yudan Yusuksim Asot Al Acharas. Fahim Lilachem Et Katim Lamalam Et Kikrei Adam Asher Keti Vapi V'chamati. We're going to go over this Pasuk again. Asher Sati Benay Me'erzot Akol Ratam. So listen carefully. Come back to Dalet. Here's the word of God, the God of Israel, about the cities, about the houses in the city, and the houses of the kings of Judah, which are now being taken apart, and the battering rams are coming. The Babylonians are slowly destroying the city. Here's the word of God about them. What are they using to build up the defenses? The dead bodies, the corpses of the people who are fighting. It's a lost cause almost. But listen to what he says here. Asher keti b'afiyah v'chamati, these dead people who died in battle, why did they die? With my anger. V'asher yistati p'nai me'erzot al kol ratam. What do you think God was masiris panim from the city for all their bad? He didn't listen to their prayers. We see the people praying to God under the siege. asking God for help to save them. During the entire siege of the Babylonians, the people continued to pray to God. And God tells them, don't pray because you're wasting your time. And what's he called that? I didn't answer to those prayers. Why? Because of their bad behavior. I'll call Ratam. Then he says, finally, after it's all over, I'm going to help you out again. Don't think all is lost. That's Yirmiyahu's main point. Even though you're losing this battle, not all is lost. There'll be redemption in the future. Yeah. Now what I want to show you is how this idea of Hester Panim comes up over and over again. And I have to go to other Nevi'im and show how they deal with it. We'll start with TV. So I want to take Prakim you're all familiar with, and then we'll do the ones in Yishayel. I want to start with, you know the one, Ayyam et HaShachar? Tidim Chabet? It's a famous one. There's a couple of nice songs from here. Anotech Ayyam et HaShachar Mizmor David Eli Eli Lama Zarkani? Sounds familiar?
Yeah.
Rochok Yishrati Dibrei Shagati Elohai Ekra Yomam Va'atanea. The main point I want to get, we're talking about someone davening. And then Pasuk Dabba Takaro Shishet Tilot Yisrael. Anyone know that's a Pasuk in Tilim? And it doesn't continue with Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. That's a split. Now, the Chavat Chavateinu Baskuvit HaPazim, our forefathers trusted in you and prayed to him. Elech HaZaku V'nim Latu. The whole period goes on and on. It's kicking out of Pasuk HaFet. Ki lo vatsa v'lo shukat, shikat, enut ani, lo yisir pana bimeno, u'mishavo elav shamea. When this poor man cried out and prayed to God, what didn't God do? God didn't hide his face from him. Instead, what did he do? He listened. What that prove? If I didn't master Parim means, I listened to your prayer. I want to use that as a definition. It's clear from here. It's Hester Parim or listening to prayer. Now, the best example is from the David Hashem Ori in Perach of Zion. Shema Hashem Kuli Yekra, that's we know by heart. Chaneni Vaneni. Isn't that prayer? Lecha Amar Libi Bat Shupanai, Efenech Hashem Avakesh. Is that crystal clear? I'm praying to you, and don't hide your face. There's no other way to explain it. And to bring more and more examples of the same idea. It's for sure in Tehillim. Later we'll see in Yishayo. Hashem Birson Kamar Tav, where's that from? Hashem Birson Kamar Tav Hariyos. Don't we mumble that every morning? It's right before Baruch Shamar, isn't it? We're about to daven. In the beginning of davening, he starts the panecha, iti nivhal. Elech Hashem Ekra, ve'elonei tchanan. We're praying to God, and what are we asking God to do? If you would hide your face, means if you don't answer my prayer, I'll be scared. It's all in the context of prayer. Now the next one is the next one, Samech Tet, is also an easy one. Hoshein Hashem Elokim Kibol Maimad Nafesh. I brought that famous pasuk. I thought you heard that before. In Pasuk Yizayin, Aneni Hashem Kitov Chazdecha, Kurov Rachamecha, Pnei Elan, that's prayer. Atasir Vamecha Miyavdecha, Kitali, Maher Aneni. Is that crystal clear?
Mm-hmm.
I'm praying to God. Answer my prayer, and don't hide your face. Now the best one is a song everybody knows. Tfilat Ani, it's like a popular song nowadays. Semiki Atov, Lifnei Hashem Lispoch Sicho, boy is that prayer. Hashem Shimat Tfilati, Veshavati Erech Etavo, followed by, I think we brought those one after the next. There's no doubt about it. Hester Panim in relation to prayer. Yeah.
A child goes to stare. Apparently, he's ignoring or saying no. Saying no without always necessarily ignoring. How can you separate the two with regards to feeling that kind of struggle over here? Because well, you know what, you're not worthy of it now, come back another time. As opposed to Tolo Hestefani.
What do you mean Tolo Hestefani?
Wait,
when you say Tolo Hestefani, what do you mean? What's Tolo Hestefani?
Tolo Hestefani is ignored, whatever that means from the perspective of Kodesh Baruch Hu.
But what I'm saying is when it says Hestefani, you can only talk about Hestefani when people are davening. Hester Panim is in relation to people davening and God doesn't answer the prayers. Could be, maybe you call it ignoring. But it's like a no answer. But the main point I want to show you is whenever we have Hester Panim, it's in relation to an Am Yisrael praying to God, asking for help, and God says no. Yeah.
The difference between the
connected to prayer praying, or you love your people?
Here we see both, don't we? We see Yirmiyahu's own purpose. Here it seems for sure for the nation. Most prayer is national prayer. You understand what I'm getting at? There's a concept of total Hester Putting, like God's not paying attention at all. We have the intention, we have the impression that Hester Putting means God's not paying attention. I'm claiming Hester Putting, he is paying attention. And he's saying no. There's a big difference between them. The concept a lot of us have of Hester Putting is like God's sleeping. It's an idol type concept. Because an idol, sometimes they're sleeping, sometimes they're awake.
Right.
You know, sometimes they're there.
Pagan.
Yeah, pagan, that's the word. Yeah. That's more of a pagan concept. Here we're saying God is always listening. Hester Putting means he's not paying attention. Hester means he's saying no. He hears us crying, and he's not willing to answer.
No,
listening and ignoring, it doesn't mean say no.
Right.
But as I'm saying, he's saying, ignoring means he's not paying attention.
Ignoring means not responding.
If that's how you find ignore. But it's definitely not, he's not saying he's not paying attention. He's not saying he's not listening. He hears what we're saying, and he's not answering.
He's not responding.
He's not responding, but what I'm getting at is when we talk about Hester Putting, it's in relation to the time that we're davening to God. And it's consistent. And we're not used to understanding it that way. We rarely relate Hester Putting to a time period where we're davening to God. Maybe we are, maybe we're not, but I'm trying to show you Hester Putting is always in relation to Tefillah.
So Hester Putting is still a response to
Tefillah? It's a negative. It's saying, I'm not listening. It's saying, not I'm ignoring you, I'm hearing you, and I'm telling you no. Parents do that all the time, yeah.
I thought on the national level, the idea of Nebuah, there's no more Nebuah. I thought it was part of it that there's no live communication between us and Hashem and
Nebuah. After Yirmiyahu or before?
After.
I mean, Yirmiyahu's still, there's still Nebuah with Yirmiyahu. He's a first-rate Nabi. And even after Nebuah is over, there's always room for Tefillah. There's always room. Tefillah is not a function of Nebuah.
Right, but I thought the whole concept was that there's no communication, real direct
communication. The idea of Nebuah here is the Nabi is telling you why God's saying no. When I have a Nabi, I have a more direct answer of why he's telling us no. I'm not going to say ignore anymore. He's ignoring our prayer because he's not listening.
Right, yes. He's not ignoring.
Yes, that's what you mean by ignoring. He's ignoring our prayer, he's not ignoring us. He's aware of what we're doing. And he's saying no. Yeah, question.
In Harakuf Beis Pasuk Gimel, it says, "Asher Panechem Imeni Dinat Yentes Biyom Ekra Maher Aneni." Now he says, "Please answer me quickly." Now, suppose Hashem answers, but it's not quickly. Is that Hester Panim, or is it not? Or is it not Hester Panim?
That's I guess this is what's called Madregas. Yeah.
So if there are Madregas and Hester Panim, then already the idea of ignoring versus saying no may be part of those madrigos.
But he's listening though, he hears. So he's saying, maybe not so fast. Maybe I need some more. He's asking, answer me, don't hide your face from me, answer me, and sooner the better. My hair ain't in, answer me quickly. You can answer later, it's better than nothing. Yeah.
But that just shows that test upon him is the lack of answer.
Wait a second.
No.
What?
He always says
what?
He always says Lomachor.
Yeah.
That's
tomorrow
is
better.
And that's why when we
die, when
we say, Hashem,
Hashem,
I'll
come in beyond
Koreh.
Right away, not tomorrow, yeah.
But even if Hashem listens before the delay, Hashem is still listening.
Yeah, that's my claim. He's always listening.
He's always listening.
He's never ignoring. Ignoring in the sense he's not listening. But sometimes he says no. Yeah.
Is it just a question of time until God's anger abates? You're saying all of Gullus then would be always time. Theoretically, we should.
No, God can help with. There's answers to prayer. It's not everything or nothing. Either it's not redemption or no redemption. There's partial. God helps us in all different ways,
right.
Even in Gullus.
The answer upon him was not. It was always that it's in a non-overt fashion. God's there, and it's just not overtly.
You don't see him. No, you're saying Hester Putting is close to miracles.
Right. Or just not overt.
It could be, but here, what I'm showing you is Hester Putting. We can't talk about Hester Putting without Tefillah. Yeah.
If he's always listening, then we never ask a Te'elai of Nefesh Shema. Copy an apple, right?
I mean, that's what's called anthropomorphism.
Yeah. Yeah. Why would we even say that if it's always...
Because we're talking about Lashon B'nei Adam. Is that... It's not, because maybe it appears like you're not listening. But you're right, that's a good question. That's a question on anthropomorphism, not on... It's like in our way of saying, listen and give us a positive answer. Yeah.
Well, the difference then between the hesapanim when you have nebuah and hesapanim when you have after nebuah?
I think...
But
yeah.
Here you can say, God does speak back to him at different points. You quote God speaking back in moments of time to him saying, even if you brought me motion before, I would not do it. I would not change my opinion. Please, right now, I'm not going to change my opinion. But you're saying the rest of the book of Yirmiyahu is constantly Hester Pani when it comes to what to do with these people. Yirmiyahu is not getting an answer.
Well, so we're going to see now what Yirmiyahu is going to tell him, there's a way to get God to answer you. But there's things to do before Tevilah. Anyway, the answer to all this is the Haftarah of Yom Kippur. Okay? Yom Kippur, the Haftarah? Not Yonah. Shafris, the one we don't pay attention to. Everyone thinks about the Yonah. Baptist Yonah is good, but the Haftarah, Yom Kippur morning, it says it all. That's the next source. Yishael Nuntet. Yeah, wait. Yishael Nuntet. You can look in your, yeah, look in, actually, at the end of Nunchet. Just look at the end of Nunchet. Look in Yishayel. I'll save Yishayel for them because he gives the answer to everything. For a change. I built this all up to appreciate Haftar and Yom Kippur. Explains Yom Kippur, explains Haftar, explains how God works. Yishayel Yud Nunchet. Look at the end of Nunchet. I always joke around that the laning, make a big deal about the laning shafris and the haftarah and mincha. And the other way around, the important ones are the other ones. Yishayel Nunchet, I mean, Yonah is also important. Yishayel the end of Nunchet. Just make sure your sound rings the bell. Where are we? Yishayel Nunchet, I'm sorry. The end of Nunchet. Look at the end of Nunchet. Find me where the haftarah begins. Why are something wrong here? Oh no, I'm in a different way. Nuntet, I'm sorry, before Nuntet, just look at Nuntet. It's simply another definition of Hesapanim and Yishayel. We'll go back to Nuntet in a minute. Yishayel Nuntet, the source on the beginning of Parash Nuntet. This is after the Haftar of the Yom Kippur. Hey, look at the Yad Hashem Hoshia, look up those no Mishmoah, that's able to help. Kim avodotechem hayum abdilim b'nechem v'bein alechem v'chatzuchem yistiru panim mikem mishmoah. Got it? Is that best proof? Yistiru, see what it says? It's your sins were dividing between you and God. V'chatzuchem yistiru panim mikem mishmoah. Got it? Again, hester panim in relation to listening to tefillah. I'm bringing all the examples to show it. There's no other possibility. It's consistent. It's always a third panim in relation to prayer. And here we see what's stopping God from listening to prayers or answering prayers? Your sins. Okay. What sins are we talking about here? Kikafechem nigalu badam. He's really vivid here. Mesvotechem ba'avon. Sitotechem divul sheker. Lashonechem avlat tehagem. That's the translate? Ein kore v'tzedek v'nishpat b'emunah. V'tzoch l'oto oto v'dibar shav. Haru amav olin aven. He goes on and on. Got it? But I brought that from Yishayel to show you that Hashayel has the same concept as Hester Panim. The part we're going to read now for the Haftar Yom Kippur, go back of Parak, to the end of Parak and Zion. Here we go. Yeah, Parak, Pasuk Tevav. Tell me if this rings the bell. Yichol Mar Hashem Rav Nisa, Shochein Ad, Belashmo. Is there a prayer and davening from there? Yichol Mar Hashem, Ram V'Nisa, Shochein Ad. Where's that from? Do you know where that comes from?
Yeah.
Remember Shochein Ad, Moram, V'Kadosh Shmo. And what's Ram V'Nisa? The Kisei or God? Melech Yosef HaKisei, Ram V'Nisa. What's Ram V'Nisa? The Kisei or God? What? You know where that comes from? There's another one. We'll take a break or not? Just then, we'll take a quick break. Just to explain Rav Nisa? Where's that from? Rav Nisa? That's from davening also. Yeah, yeah. That's a daily thing. Rav Nisa, that's for sure God. But want to see why God called Rav Nisa? Keep your finger here. Go back to Yishayahu Perek Vav. We'll take a little commercial break. We'll be back to that. I want you to appreciate how good that is. Look at Yishayahu Perek Vav. What? Tell me if this sounds familiar. B'shat Mot HaMelech Uziyahu, Be'erat Hashem, Yosef HaKisei, Rav Nisa. Shish, what's it? B'shulam Benim Etechao, Sofim Amdim. We get right to Kedusha here, don't we?
Yeah.
That's the source of Kedusha. Why is God Rav Nisa? Go back to Perek Vav. In Perek Vav, that's the Perek Vav is on by the United Nations. Remember Ki Mitzvot Tetzei Torah Ad Varsham Yerushalayim, the famous one? That's the beginning of Perek Vav. Bishvat Ben Galim, everyone knows that one. Beit Yaakov B'chul Ben Elcha. Then skip the Pasuk Zayin. Vatanoi Yasso Ketzev Azav In Katzel Atzotav. Vatanoi Yasso Sosim In Katzel Atzotav. Then Yasso Elidim. This is all this wealth. Now, skip to Pasuk Aleph. The country is wealthy. They're doing great. Shem of Uziel. But God's angry with all their haughtiness. Pasuk Aleph. Enei Gavut Adam Shafel V'Shach Rum HaNashim V'Nizgav Shem Levado V'Yom Mahu. Another song. Enei Gavut Adam, what's going to happen? The haughty eyes of man are going to be lowered down. The Rum HaNashim, again, the loftiness of man is going to be lowered down also. And God will be great up. Ki yom Hashem tzvot akol ge'a v'ram akol nisa v'shapel. See Rav Nisa? Who's Rav Nisa? Not here. Who's Rav Nisa? Who thinks the Rav Nisa here? Man thinks God gave us prosperity at the time of Uziel. We think we're Rav Nisa. We think a lot of ourselves. God's angry with that. And then what's God saying? Ki yom Hashem tzvot akol ge'a v'ram akol nisa v'shapel. I'll call see again, Rav Nisa? I'll call Harim Haramim. I'll call Vot Hanisot. He's not complaining about the mountain. People will think they're big like mountains. He's using imagery of big mountains and phenomena in nature, and that's what people think they are. It's because they're wealthy. There's prosperity in the time of Uziel, and it got to their head. That's going to lead to Uziel bringing the Torah. All I want to show you is, why is God Rav Nisa in all these divorce? Because people think the Rav Nisa, and God's got to teach him a lesson. God gave you that prosperity to do something positive with it, and that's basically Yishayahu in a nutshell. That's what he's complaining about. Now back to Yishayahu, that was a little commercial break.
Isn't okay. Also Rav Nisa on the day that Hashem brings the Yeshua?
That he'll be Rav Nisa.
Yeah. When all mankind then...
will realize that he's Rav Nisa.
Right.
And then man will be in his proper position. So best, at the end of the design, just to make sure you remember, stop starting from Kippur. And then the best one is the entire Nunchet. We'll take Nunchet and then we'll finish with this. And then we'll put everything together. Krav Agaron Al Tachsof. That means God tells you, Yishayahu, to do what? Scream out with your garon, with your voice, with your throat. Don't hold back. Kishofar Harim Kalecha. Means raise your voice like a shofar. Scream it out. Tell the people what their sin is. We're going to finally find out from Yishayahu what's wrong with them.
Where are you?
Perek Nunchet, chapter 58.
Okay.
This is Daftar of Yom Kippur. Ring the bell to everybody. Boti Yom Yom Yidrushun. What's that mean? What are they doing? Me? They're diving to me every day. The people that you guys are listening to, they're diving to me every day. They're looking for me. They're in search of God. Okay. How are they acting?
As if they're good guys.
As like they're good guys. Yishaluni mishpatei tzedek. They're praying to me. For mishpatei, for laws that are just. What do they want? I want to get close to God. I want to be spiritual. I want to be close. They're meditating. They're coming to davening. They're so into it. You follow? And that's my nation. And they can't figure out why God's not answering them. Lama tavu v'lo rita. What are the people complaining to God about? We're fasting. You don't answer our prayer. Ininu nafshinu v'lo teda. We're fasting. We're afflicting ourselves. And you're acting like you don't hear us.
Thank God. Hayom b'yom hayom ha. Hey b'yom tamchem timtzu chefet because vechem timgosu. What that mean? You're finding all your it's your fast days. But what are you doing instead? How do you translate in English? Can be, I can't read. What? You see what he means in a second? Listen, what he's going to really burn into him. Hey, the Riba Matata Tumu, why are you fasting? So you can do what? Go back home and do what? To go back home and quarrel and fight with everybody? Lachot de grof resha, blotta tumu kiyom lashmiya marom kolchem, hachadei yet tumu kharel, it's a question. So this is a fast day. Yom anot adam nafsho, a man is afflicting himself. Halachot kagmon rosho, putting his head in his sack. The fact that every yatsia, halazet yikratom, yom ratom Hashem. What are your fast days like? You're making yourself a nobody, putting your head in a sackcloth, lying down on the ground. That's what you call a fast day? And God, he's saying it sarcastically. Because that's what they're doing. He says, that's not a fast day. Halazet some efecharel. God says, this is a fast day that I want. Patech rabusot rasha, you know what that means? Open up the bet. What? So what's the wickedness? See?
The fetters
of wickedness, whatever that means. Basically, the chains that are brought down by the wicked, open them up. Free the people, free the oppression. What's the next one? Hatero gudot mota. Mota is someone who's been afflicted, or... And what? Open up the strings, the ropes of persecution. Shalach with the tim chavshim. Same idea. Send them free, the people who've been... Tied down, oppressed. Chomotat in a teko. Again, everyone. What's it say in English? It's the yoke, people under oppression. Yoke of oppression. Break out that yoke. What's the next one? It gets really bad. Halofot torev lachmecha. Slice bread, not slice bread. It means give food to the hungry. Vanim rudin tavivai. You know what that means? Not people who are hungry, but what? Rudin means sad, depressed people. Poor, depressed people. Open up your home to them. What's the next one? Kitirah, rok, kitol. Take care of clothing for people who don't have. What else? The gam. And also take care of yourself. Adi b'kach t'shach ha'orecha v'arukatach mehez yitzmach. Halach v'tzitzech v'kvar Hashem yatzecha. Got it? Now here's the big line. Got it? Sahoshi works for this line. I'll take that. Ad tikra v'adonai yameh. T'shavav yomar hineni. In tatsir mitocha mota v'shach etzbar v'leber avet. That's the Miyaw that Yishav Bami spells it out. He's not saying don't daven. He's saying there's no point in davening if you don't do tshuva at home first. Don't treat God like a vending machine. It's not a magic machine. I got to say these magic words. It's such a key topic. And that's, why do you think we have this on? Do you understand why we read this on Yom Kippur? Because people have the wrong idea about Yom Kippur. Because what do you think Yom Kippur is? They think on Yom Kippur, God's a vending machine. If I say the right magic words and scream enough and stuff like that, that's why they throw in all the achet. Because there's no point. You need to daven. For sure you need to daven. But before you daven, you have to do your homework. And then it's such a classic concept in religion that I can daven and I'll get something out of God. And that's what the Nevi'im are fighting all the time. It's the same problem with Korbanot like with Tzilot. You treat God like a vending machine. You can believe he's powerful, but the main thing that God wants is good behavior because you're a nation representing God. So for sure you need to pray. But when you think the only thing God wants is prayer, and you totally neglected the main thing that God wants, that's what the Nevi'im are fighting. And that's why God's saying, I'm not answering your prayers because you think the way God wants is prayer. That's the Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem that Yirmiyahu was talking about. He's not saying there's no point in prayer. The purpose of prayer is to recognize what you need to do when you leave shul. Coming and davening and praying and in order to remember how I act when I come home, that's prayer. But prayer, just for the sake of prayer, like God's a vending machine, that's in the game we're fighting tooth and nail. I'm making a big deal about it because the problem's to this day. And you see it all the time. And that's why I thought it was worth a share. One more line in Yishayo. I think he made his point already, didn't he?
Can you have 1 minute?
Yeah.
In 57:17.
58. 57? 57.
I'm in trouble seeing how that Hester is a contrast.
So that's a Hester Panim. That's a different... That's, that Hester Panim is... That that's there. That's just hiding his
That he's hiding what he's doing.
Yeah. That's not Hester Panim. That's a different context.
He's doing something bad.
No. That's God getting angry.
Yeah.
He's hitting us sort of in a hidden way. That's God punishing us. Or maybe it's also he's mustering funny, but that's God punishing us, isn't it?
I have no idea.
Yes. Okay. Because of Rebessa, that's not their iniquity. So sin, I got angry, and I smit him, and I hit my face for him, and I got angry. It's part of his punishment. And he continued to go back. Shavab is like a mischievous child. But he's explaining why God was fighting him, was punishing him. Bavon Bitzov for the sin of his iniquity. Now back to, we were up to Pasuk. Pasuk 10, right? Al Tikra Vashem Yana, at Tishrav Yom Ahinemi, Am Tassim Tach Mota, Shachet Vab Zeberlan, Tatarek Vab Nafshach Vab Shanat Tazbiya, Tazrach Vachosh Shachorech Vab Yifotek Hazarayim, and then God will be with you. Nach Hashem Tamid Bizbiya, Tatsot Nafshach, then he'll give you to drink and all the things you need. That's Mutech Yachvit, Vaitek Gan Raveh, that's about water, Mutamayim, Asher Loich Vitu Mimav, Ubim Chabachor Vatolam, then your destruction will be rebuilt. Mutzei Dor V'Dor Tzokamayim, Kol Achad Kodeh Peretz, Mushabeh Mitzivot L'Shabet, Im Tashim Shabbat Regrach, Asad Chabchav Yom Kodshi, Kong Shabbat Oneg, get a whole bunch of Zmiro from there, Im Tosh Yisrael Mechubad, Chetom Yasod Vachem, Yisrael Mechubad, Yisrael Mechubad, Yisrael Mechubad, Yisrael Mechubad, Ati Tamek Al Hashem, he goes on and on. Got it? But what he said was the main point. He's not against Tfilah. He's saying Tfilah without proper Tshuva beforehand is meaningless. Not meaningless. It's worse, probably worse than meaningless. And that's, it's Yishayahu's point, it's Yirmiyahu's point, it's consistent in all the Nevi'im. Yeah, question.
So your assumption is whenever our prayers aren't answered, either on a national level or individual, it's because we've done something wrong.
Oh, we're doing something wrong.
Yeah, but that's, the Shoah. I mean, I don't think that you necessarily can make that assumption.
I mean, I don't want to say, but I'll give it a direction. When people talk about the Shoah, it's Hester Panim. I agree in the fact that we cried out to God and he didn't answer. But like, we have to read, as the one source we have to read. What source do we have to read now? Where is the concept of Hester Panim defined? In Hazinu. Or at the end of Vayera. So we'll read there and we'll see what it's talking about. And I think that'll answer your question. Go to, you hear a lot, whenever something bad happens, we don't have an explanation for it, we call it Hester Panim. I don't think that fits into the prophetic definition of Hester Panim. Because Hester Panim is not, God's not paying attention. God's always paying attention. But Hester Panim, we doubt him and he answers no. But he answers no because we're doing something fundamentally wrong. I want to show you in Shirat Hazinu, if there's punishment on a national level, not individual level, there's always a reason. And God would never do anything for no reason. Now what the reason is, you need a Navi for. Or a common sense.
Oh, sure. Man, common sense.
There's another version of false prophet. Look here, we'll finish with this. Look at Terek Lamed Aleph.
Why don't you do a Terek
of Kuvav? Oh, Kuvav, we'll get to Kuvav, yeah. That's the other side, that's the other... Kuvav will tie it in. But first we're going to do now Vayelech, the end of Parsha Vayelech. Quite louder?
There were contradictions, because all the Noivim in the Yahu, they were saying, you don't have to give up. They were common sense, you don't give up.
But who said that to give up?
Right. In Yahu, right? And to God, love and calm, they say, you have to fight them. That was common sense.
To them, yeah. It was political common sense.
Right.
But they didn't understand God's message.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm saying I was being joking, but common sense, spiritual common sense. Back to Lamed Aleph. Yeah. Read Lamed Aleph. See what God says. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe Aleph. Pasuk Yudalef. Hey, Kovi Yomecha Lamutka Yeshua Vitetu Bo Moed Nastaveno Veilach Moshe Veisavil. It's the old head coach is going out. The new head coach is coming in, and they have a huddle.
Yeah.
God appears to him in the Moed and Tal Pasuk Tzayin. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Pay attention now. God says, once you're going to die, What's going to happen? The Rabban explains beautifully. It will happen, but it's bound to happen. They're going to come to the land. They're going to break my covenant. And if they break my covenant, what's going to happen? I'll have to get angry with them. When they break my covenant and follow other gods, what will happen? I'll have to leave him. They said, What will happen? God will punish them. What do you mean he'll hide his face from them? We'll say he won't answer the prayers.
Or answer possibly.
What? Oh, possibly, all right. Okay, one. Right, okay. But this is what they said. What are they going to say when God doesn't answer the prayers? Why are these bad things happening? Because God's not in my midst. Which means what? Is that tshuva? Are they blaming themselves or blaming God?
God.
If I pray to you and you don't answer me, which means you're not there. So they blame God for their failure. If you were a real God, you would have answered our prayers. That's what they're telling him.
And they're blaming him also for their going up at a Sabbath.
No, they're saying, I turned to God in prayer, and God didn't answer my prayer. So what conclusion did they reach? Not that I'm bad, but God's to blame. Listen, it's got to be this. We'll prove this in a minute.
Okay.
Because what's God's answer to this turning to God when they say, because God's not my midst? It's not because I didn't pray to him. I did pray to him, but he didn't answer me. Therefore, he left me. Or he's not powerful enough. They're turning to God. They say, God's not in my midst, means he's not helping me. Or he's not there.
Well, why don't you look at that in that car about that?
Because they don't think... Ramban goes in that direction. Ramban goes in that direction and says it's Tihore Tshuva. The other question is, but why did he just say, look at the next line. V'nachi asir asir panayim lehavim, who I'll call a Rashi Asa, yifalav limachavim. If this was real Tshuva, what should the answer be? God should answer them. But what's the next passage say? I'm going to hide my snatch from them because they turned other gods. Why they turned other gods? Because I didn't help them. It's a vicious cycle. It's from the next passage, God is not going to continue to hide my face from them because they didn't get the message. Now, this game is called Bruegel. You know the Bruegel game? Remember? What do we say? Who's to blame? God's to blame. Therefore, we turned other gods. What's God saying? You turned other gods. I'm not going to help you even more. How are we going to get out of it? So the answer is the next one. Vata, kitfu lachem at hashira hazot, v'lamda b'nei Yisrael, sima b'fiyem. Tamat yeli hashira hazot, leid b'nei Yisrael. What's going to be the answer? Shira tazinu. The answer to your question is shira tazinu. But we have to reach shira tazinu to find the answer. How are we going to solve this problem when this brokenness game happens and the people blame God for not answering the prayer? Who's to blame? Is God to blame? Are we to blame? That's the question, isn't it? We pray to God. We're in trouble. We pray to him. He doesn't answer our prayers. Who's to blame? So usually we say Hester Panim. But Hester Panim, I think, means the exact opposite. It means we're to blame. Okay. When do I do this? That's instead of Vachata Vatsavate Barachta. Vachata Vatsavate Hashem. That's instead of Vachata Vatsavate Barachta. Vachata Vatsavate Hashem. When you come to the land, you sin, etc. What will happen? When you have all these terrible punishments to come. Okay. This song you know by heart. You won't understand it, but you'll know by heart. Okay. So maybe one day someone will listen to what the words are. Okay. You'll remember it. Every Balkori will know it. But then you might actually pay attention to the words. And I'm teaching you before you come to the land. Therefore, write this down, Shira down. Now let's read the Shira and see what it says. The first three lines are introduction. We don't have time for them. I mean, we have time. We don't. It's late. The first three lines are important, but they're not part of the Shira. What I'm talking about is Yino Shalai Vadabera. That's introductory. The last line, Kishem Hashem Akrabu Guru Lalehenu. Those introductions that whenever I say God's name, you say, praise the Lord. Are you? Roshem Kod Machutom. Okay. The song begins with Pasuk Dalet. And listen how it fits in. Okay. What's the opening line? Remember, why do we need this song? When things go bad and God doesn't answer our prayers, who's to blame? What's the opening line of the song? Hatsur Tamim Polo. What's that mean? God's always right. Now we conduct business. Let's get things right. God's always right. He doesn't make he's always right and just in his decision. Elo min avin aftai tishav. Shichet lo, it's a question mark here. What's that mean? Shichet means destruction. Are we going to attribute to who? To him? What's the answer? Lo. Who's to blame? His children. Dori keshuv tato. A crooked generation. When something goes wrong, who's to blame? Don't blame God. Blame the children. It's the kid's fault. Halav emetik v'luzot, what's that mean? Are you going to blame it on God? Is it God's fault? Am nava v'lo chacham? Am nava means foolish people. And not wise? Halohu avicha konech, who's chavecha l'necha? See, Avin then? That's a demon's learning. Maybe everybody met him? He's your father. There's no reason for him to punish you for no reason. Sure, the Zinu establishes on a national level, and not an individual, on a national level, it can't be that God punishes the nation and there's no underlying reason. That's what the Shura is about. It might be difficult to accept, but that's what the Shura is saying. It could be the Shura is wrong, but that's what Shura and the Zinu was saying.
Is that on an individual level?
No, on a national level. Only, this is only national, for sure not individual level. This, God's talking to the nation, and the whole, all tribal ownership is on a national level. Why wouldn't God do something for no reason? He made you. He wants you to do good. He chose you to represent him. And if he's going to punish you, it's because you're doing a lousy job representing him. Well, how am I doing a lousy job? You have to go and do what's called do cheshbon ha-nefesh on a national level. How do I know what I'm doing wrong? There's a guy. What's it say? Zichor yimot olam. What's that mean? Study history. Study what happens from generation to generation. Ask your father and he'll tell you. When God separated the nations after Migdal Babel, he organized them based on his purpose of choosing Am Yisrael. It's good. Then he goes through Jewish history. The portion of God is his people. There's 70 nations. One nation God picked to represent them. Yaakov, Chevron, Nachlato. Then he brought us up in the desert. He took care of us in the desert. He trained us in the desert like a vulture or like an eagle. Raising his children, teaching them how to fly. When they spread their wings, he teaches them how to fly on their own. Hashem yatzad yitzchenu enimo yachar. And then he brings them to the land of Israel. He gives them everything they need. And then what happens? Pasuk tevav. Vayishmani shurum vayivash. Shaman tavit tekatita. Vayitosh shalo atzev. And that's where we got too affluent. We came to the land. We'll come to the land. And we'll forget God. It goes on and on about how bad we are. And then, what's God say? God gets really angry. There's one more Hester Panim here. Where is it? Was Asir Panim him? Who's that? Pasachap, I'm sorry, I just skipped the next line. But after being that, God sees what's happening in Revi. And he gets angry. Mikas Benazel is going to stop. So my anger caused to my children. Vayim Asir Panim him. What's he say? I'm going to hide a meeting. I'm not going to listen to when they turn to me. I'll see what will happen to them. I'll get back at them for the way they've been treating me. He goes on and on. And finally at the end, he says, really they deserve to be destroyed, but what's he going to do at the end? Because of the Chilo Hashem will come and save us at the end, even though we're not deserving sometimes. And then after he saves, when I come and save you finally, recognize I'm the one behind it. Yeshua is basically a call that when something goes wrong in Jewish history, don't blame God, blame yourself. Well, who's to blame? What's to blame? That you can argue. I agree that we don't know for sure what specific thing caused it. But something was wrong. Okay. At the time of the Holocaust, that's not our business to go, that's what's called, when the actual suffering is happening, you empathize. Okay? When people are, during the Beirut, you don't start saying, whose fault was it? There's empathy. You sit and you cry together. That's Migilat Eicha in a nutshell. A generation or two later, then you can begin maybe to analyze. Again, I'm not saying I know the reason for what caused the Shoah. I'm not, but to say that there was no reason, and it's on some of the whim, that's awesome. That understands that something I can go against Chumash.
That's you.
What?
That's you.
And God gives an answer to you.
The implied reason is that the Jews sinned.
We did a lousy job representing God. Now, what were we doing wrong? It's because too many people were making Aliyah. Too many people weren't making Aliyah. Were we obnoxious to our neighbors, to each other? Did we not get along? There's a lot of candidates for it, and there doesn't have to be only one answer. It can be a conglomerate. But there's definitely, there was what to improve on, that's for sure.
There were also wonderful centers of learning and many, many.
Yeah.
The D came to ourselves, and maybe no one's to blame. I mean, does it have to be a choice of where to blame?
It's not a specific person. I mean, the answer most people have is someone else to blame. Everyone agrees with somebody else. and that's the only thing everyone agrees on.
What do you say when, you know, like there's societies that are so prosperous? There's times in Jewish history where we've been really
prosperous. Yeah, so that's what Yirmiyahu talks about. That's basically that's Yonah. That's Megillat Yonah, or Sefer Yonah, where because God gives people a second chance, you interpret the second chance as there's a price you pay when you allow for repentance, or God doesn't punish right away. You want a system where the second you do something wrong, you want Pavlov's dog and it's taken care of? We tried that before the flood. It didn't work. Okay. That's the first luchot. That's the parallel. That's why it's all the same. It's a parallel story. And that's why Yonah is like the flood story. The same water, the same... That's Yonah's... the Yonah. That's pre-flood, post-flood.
That we've lived up to the expectations of Jewish history.
It seems
throughout the course of Jewish history, we've really never met a
God. It's not exactly a pass-fail system. There's partial. Bottom line, we got the name of God to all mankind. All the major religions believe in the one God and profess ethical behavior. Now we're fighting who over who gets to represent us. That's why we kill each other. What? At least you have a reason, yeah. At least for a good reason we're killing each other. But knowing that we need to live up to certain expectations to prevent that disaster is even more important.
Of course.
So it was, on the one hand, it's depressing, on the other hand, it's inspiring.
But you can only control your spouse and your
now I'm going to Parshat Shavuah. But Avraham's tefillah was that a small group of people can have an effect on a bigger people. That's all concepts of Judaism. That's the idea of a minyan. A community, a group of people acting properly, you can sit back and say, what can I do? And he teach his own. But saying there's a potential there, and something can be changed, and that's called leadership. And that a group of people can have an effect on a bigger group, and you can start a movement. That doesn't happen right away. But the feeling that something can be done, and needs to be done, it's our responsibility to do it, and to take what's called a bull by the horn and change something around, and make things better. That's exactly why we have Nadim. That's the reason why we have the book. Does it work? When God tells Abram that Chalav Gadol, it's a challenge, not a promise. Do we live up to it? That's what we call Bechira Chofshit. God doesn't say, I know you're going to be good. I said, I came to know you so that you would be good. And all through the Chumash we have, if we do good, God will be good to us. If we do bad, he'll punish us. All the Tochachot. It's every day in Shema. Let Shema be Moti Shmu. It's the most basic message of Chumash, which is simply overlooked a lot. Everyone's looking for Kabbalic answers, mysterious things, everything's predetermined and things like that. There's Gematria all this year. It's totally against mainstream Chumash. And the redemptive idea that man's fate is a behavior, especially it's national fate, and not believing in ourselves, believing in God, that what happens to us as a nation is a bunch of how we act as a nation. The strategy we'll see in davening is exactly that. That's Tidim Kuvav and we'll finish. Tidim Kuvav, I told you, that's the answer to everything. First look at the last slide of Tidim Kuvav and you understand why it's from davening. Tidim Kuvav, we're way over time. Okay. Tidim Kuvav. Tidim Kuvav. Look at the last line and tell me if it looks familiar. Tidim Kuvav. Tidim Kuvav. Kuvav is. Well, Ein Chet is the best. Ein Chet. Yeah, Ein Chet is exactly the. Yeah, the same thing. About what we learn from history. And tell our children and what Achrit Amim means. The last line is not the last line of the parak, it's an add on, that's the last line of the book. Mem Chet doesn't count. That's from Sukkot Zimra. So that bracha at the end, that's the end of book, what, the book three? Book four. That's the end of book four. The last line of the parak is Pasuk Mem Zayin. Look familiar?
Yeah.
Is that a prayer?
Yeah.
Why should you save us? Save us because if you save us, what will we do?
Well, thank you.
And praise you. Now, look how the parents begin. The first line is a command or a statement. Hallelujah. It's a command. It means everyone's commanded to praise God. Make sense? Look at the next line. The next song. The song looks familiar? Where's that song from? That song's from Hanukkah? Yeah. You see what they did to that song? The Zionist? Yeah. It's a mockery, that's all. It's me and my love. Now, is that a rhetorical question or not? Are we saying it's impossible to sing God's praises? Or are we asking a real question? Who's worthy to sing God's praises? We'll see by the answer. Who's worthy to sing God's praises? To sing me and my love, what Hashem Yashmei HaKolti Lato? Who's worthy of singing? We have a command to sing God's praises. Who's worthy to sing His praises? What's the answer? Ashrei Shomrei Mishpato says Tzeka B'Choleit. Got it? Which makes sense. Because if we're acting rotten as a nation, we're haughty, obnoxious, whatever we are, and we talk about God all the time, God looks bad. If we're just and upright, and have a just society and follow God and talk about God, then it works good. If we're just and upright and don't talk about God, we didn't have a message for mankind. If we're not just upright and we talk about God, we have the opposite effect. Now, what's Pasuk Dalet? A command statement, what is that? We made an opening statement. We're commanded to praise God. Who's worthy? People doing Tzedek U'Mishpat. What's Pasuk Dalet? Oh, actually, Dalet and Hey together. What would you call that? It's prayer, isn't it? Classic prayer, isn't it? What's David HaMelech praying for? He's praying for Yeshua. He kind of is in trouble, he's asking for help. What's Pasuk Vav? First they have Shmunas, right? Then we have Tachnun. Don't we? First there's a prayer. Okay. But first we pray, and then we ask God to answer our prayer, even though we're not deserving. So what do you say? Our forefathers didn't get the message, and therefore what happened? What? But what did God do anyhow? But Yoshem Laman Shmo. He helped us anyhow. Why? Because for the sake of your name. And he goes on example after example. He goes to all the Jewish history from Chumash and the Nevi'im Rishonim, where God helped us even though we weren't so deserving. For what reason though? In the hope that when he saves us, we'll thank him again. Now what? That he doesn't. That's his minhag rachamim. And why did he do it? For the sake of his name. What do we say after Shmona Esrei all the time? In Tachnun. How do we end Tachnun? It's Reino Elokeinu or the Baruch of Shemecha. But they don't the man Shemecha. Do it for your sake. We're not deserving. But if you save us, what will we do? The whole strategy of davening is, maybe we're not worthy. Just listen to Tachnun. It could be we're not worthy. We don't deserve to get all your kindness. But listen, help us this time. And what I promise to do, next time I'll do it right. If you can convince God that you're sincere, then He promises to help you. That's good when we go that don't come empty-handed. What does it mean that God has midot rachamim? If you convince yourself, and then convince God, that you're sincere in your prayer, what's your prayer? Prayer is not praying to God, save me. Prayer is showing God that if you help me, I'll help you. So like any good boss, if I'm convinced my worker is really sincere about doing a good job, I'll give him another chance. If I realize it's a bunch of blah blah, and he's only praying to me because he cares about himself and not about doing his job, then why should I help? So the strategy of davening is I daven to remember what I need to do when I leave shul. Got the idea? What davening is supposed to do, the way davening should work, is that I understand my relationship with God, I understand that God will help me, I understand that God is all-powerful. Every bracha on Shmoneh Esrei is yes, He can, with a capital H. Isn't it? Each bracha, yes, he can. Listen to it, isn't it? Baruch Hashem Rofei Cholim. What's the other one? Rofei. Okay. No. That's Baruch Hashachar. No Baruch. Mevarech Hashanim. Isn't each one? Go El Yisrael. No, yes he can. That's the Chasimah. Yes he can. What did we say beforehand? Give us health. Give us prosperity. Give us redemption. Give us that. Give us all these things. I know you can. So what am I davening for? Help us bring it back so we can serve you. If God's convinced that you're convinced that if he gives you prosperity, you use it properly, then there's every reason for God to give you prosperity. If he's convinced it's a bunch of lip service and you're not sincere, and the second he gives you prosperity, you're going to become haughty again, then why should he save you? Unless he's giving you a second chance. So God said, I gave you a second, third, fourth. Sooner they have to blow the whistle. That's what's happening in your meal with time. It's because of the Zidei Sheker that God has to bring the Korban. And that I'll try to tie it all together now. If the false prophets are telling the people, all you need to do is what? Pump in more Korbanot. Pray more and more. And they don't talk about fixing society. And that's their message over and over again. What does God want? Pray. And what message are they hearing? Echal Hashem, Echal Hashem, Echal Hashem. What message aren't they hearing? And don't they want to hear? Fix your society. And the prominent message you're getting from the rabbis is the main thing God wants is prayer and sacrifice and ritual. And they don't hear the other message, and they're not following the other message of Yirmiyahu. God can't give them redemption. He can't help them. You know why? Because how are they going to interpret that? If they will write that, what does God want? It's just ritual. So that explains God's approach, why he's not willing to forgive them. Why is he Masir Panim? Because it's counterproductive. That's the message of Yishayahu. And God gave him chance after chance after chance. And when God says you're being punished for the sins of Manasseh from the previous generations, he's not saying you're being punished for your own sins. But why isn't God giving you another chance? Because we've been there, done that. How many times can he give you another chance? Once, twice, three times. But what seems to happen? We kept on praying, and finally God gives us another chance. But each time, even when we finally return and rebuild the temple and bring Korbanot, what do we never get right? We don't get Tzedek HaMishpat, right? And God finally says, after 300-400 years, you still can't get it right? I need to do something drastic. It's got to get worse before it gets better. Because if he would answer the prayers with a prominent rabbinic opinion at the time, and that's Yirmiyahu's colleague, it's Echal Hashem, Echal Hashem, Echal Hashem. And that's all they're talking about. And when Yirmiyahu brings up the other side of it, they mock him. And they're emphasizing the main thing God wants is Korbanot and Tfilot. God says, I can't listen to those prayers because it sounds unproductive. If I do, you're going to get the wrong message. And the only way you're going to learn the hard way, it's got to be, you have to do rehab, you have to be really rough rehab and take him out.
Didn't work yet.
It worked little by little, yeah. God did say promise to work after, so he had to do something. So I tried to explain why, what has Stephanie meant, and why God is so adamant that he's not willing to listen to the prayers. There's nothing, he's hard of hearing. He hears everything. But if he would hear the prayers, and they don't follow what Yirmiyahu is telling them, it'll be counterproductive. So instead, it's rough. It's really rough. But in my opinion, that's the message of the Nevi'im. Now, what do we need to do? I'm saying, I don't know for sure, back then. But there's definitely what you can learn from Yirmiyahu as far as prioritizing. Yirmiyahu isn't saying don't pray. He's not saying that. He's not saying don't bring Korbanot. He's not saying change the religion. He's saying prioritize and understand what it means to be a nation representing God. And understand that God's not a vending machine. And it's a fundamental problem in religion for all generations. And something you got to learn from. But I think his message is pretty clear. And Yishayahu's as well. And that's why Chazal picked him for all the Haftarot.
How is that called? That doesn't fall to above all the rules. How would they have learned the question?
Yeah, that we did a whole shir. That was a whole hour shir. I mean, that's a good question, but it's in the book. That's what half the book's about. Thanks for the stuff. Okay. Yeah, questions.
Tefillah after the Egel, he doesn't mention those people. He just says Tefillah Hashem, he destroyed Jewish people.
Because it hasn't been 400 years of sinning over and over again. And God, and they just, they're a nation of slaves. There's good. There's a point in the Rachamim, but there's a point where I can't use it anymore. And stop it because they're serving God, that God's got to do something. And they're not doing the other side. Yeah, last question, and we've got to, yeah. Okay, I will afterwards. But I hope, what I try to show you is how I try to define what Hester Panim means in Tanakh. The difficult prayers of Yirmiyahu. What's the logic of God saying, I'm not listening to your prayers? To try to get the prophetic background to it. The tragedy of Yirmiyahu in his own life, and with Yishayahu and Tehillim, the message seems to be coming for, there's a reason for Hester Panim, and there's an answer to Hester Panim, in how to understand your relationship with God on a national level. Again, I don't claim to be able to solve the problem of the Holocaust. All I can say is, it can't be for no reason at all. But the reason is, everyone can do that for a method. And the reason everyone gives is someone else's fault, it's the wrong one. I got what is it? The first sacrifice you have to bring, to bring with Shiach, is self-righteousness. Is that wrong?
No, from Terry.
Oh, from Terry, okay. Yeah, click all your Bibles again, okay?
Yeah,
okay. 3-4.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you very much.